Today's service is, I should mention, we have three drummers, which is a really blessed for them to have. So if you see a little bit of shuffling happening over here, that's what that is. They've all got different songs that they'll be playing today. So we're really grateful to have them here. Today's service is all about lessons that we can learn leading up to Easter, as we are in that time, just before Easter. And to be honest, it's a little bit of me just wanting to get all the youth Easter songs in before anybody else nicks them for their services. So we've got a few really good ones coming up today. So in the lead up to Easter, we're thinking about the lessons that we can learn from for the lead up to the cross. And one thing that really, one verse that really hit me as I was preparing for the service was, as Jesus was being found, going into, crowned as king, coming into Jerusalem. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19, verse 28. I didn't tell the guys before, unfortunately. But it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied up there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had said. And then further on, it says, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And I love that verse so much. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And so the first lot of songs that we've got here today are all praise songs that are just praising God and all that he's done for us. We're going to start with one called Happy Day.
Story. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, we at last meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You've washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust and promise that you will carry me safe to shore.
One more song, and I think it really exemplifies the whole feeling of this whole of the whole season. In Christ alone, my hope is found, and I think it's just such a great, great song.
In Christ alone. My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. Come through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When
oh. Please be seated. So as I was preparing for this service, one of the things I was really interested in was all of the different accounts that from the different Gospels and how that those all tied together. And I think I really love the Book of John. I love all of the Gospels, but I love the Book of John especially. I love how lyrical he is and how much he twists words and uses them in such a brilliant way. And in John chapter 16, verse 16, it says, Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." And at this, some of the disciples said to one another, probably what you might be saying to one another if you had no idea what was going on. What does he mean by saying, "In a little time you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me"? Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's not a phrase that that people would say. In this we can understand that the disciples are a lot like us, that sometimes they really don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the plan, they don't see what's coming up. But we're really blessed in that we can see the whole story, we can see that after the fact. They didn't get what was about to happen, but we know that Jesus that the story doesn't end at Jesus just being celebrated as he comes into Jerusalem. The story doesn't end when Jesus dies. The story doesn't end when he comes back to life. But it ends when he takes all of the bad that we've done and he forgives us completely. In verse 28, he says he will be with the Father. And in John 14, verse 2, he says he's preparing a place in heaven for those who follow him. And that's the good news, and that's the faith that we have in Jesus. And it's so great that even then, when people didn't understand what Jesus was saying, that in everything God had a plan, that God knew what he was saying, and that we can have that hope and that faith that God has a plan in our lives too. The next song that we're going to sing really tells the whole story in that beautiful way. It's "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." And I think, oh, I had a yes, and I'm very excited that somebody's so excited about this song that I love. Yes, we're going to sing "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." Please stand and join us with that. Yes, sorry. Louisa will be doing actions for those who love actions. I saw some actions going on in my lighthouse. Oh, love actions. Okay. Hey, is it you? Thank you. Okay.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross.
Please be seated. I'm going to ask Nathan now to come up and speak about more lessons that we can learn from the lead up to the bus.
Thank you so much, Danny, and all of the young people in the band today. God bless you, and Andy as well, bless you. And good to see you all this afternoon. Welcome again to our all-age service, and it's a blessing to be here. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, brief word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again to be in your house, and thank you so much, Lord, that indeed you came from heaven to show us the way. We thank you, Lord, because you have shown us the way. Now we don't have to wander around without any aim or direction, but thank you that you have given us a perfect way. And Lord, I thank you for everyone who's here this afternoon. And I pray, Lord, you continue to steer us in the right direction. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, as we come just to share something from your word, thank you for your word. And we pray you'll speak to each and every one of us now and receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I want to just call your attention to a few verses here from Matthew chapter 26, from verse number 42. Very familiar passage. And it reads like this. We're picking up here from midway through. It says, he went away a second time, he being Jesus, and he prayed. And here is the prayer. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. I want to speak for just a short while today to you all from this subject, lessons from the garden. Lessons from the garden. Can we say that together? Lessons from the garden. What can we learn from the garden? I want to ask you by way of introduction today, what comes to your mind when you think about the garden? What comes to your mind when you think about the garden? It could be your garden at home or a garden you have visited. What comes to your mind when you think about the garden? I'm going to give you just a short while to think in your mind, then I'm going to ask you to give me some of your feedback and response to what you think about the garden. I'll give you just a short while. Right, any thoughts? Anyone want to put their hand up and share with us? Yes, Carol, what comes to mind? Yes, the cycle, yeah, the seed, absolutely. Yes, Oliver?
Grass.
Grass, ah, good. Yes, Ken?
When we went to Israel, that was a privilege on Mr. Graham when I got there.
Yeah.
And we went to the garden there, and they were saying the trees that were there were about 2,500 years old.
Yeah,
yeah. So those trees must have been there when Jesus was there.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yes, Ken, there's talking about the Garden of Gethsemane.
Flowers.
Yes, those beautiful, pretty flowers. Yes.
He
hidden life. You want to expand a little bit for us?
Well, whether you look at the plant life, or when you dig into the soil itself,
yes.
The whole world there,
yeah.
Getting
all inspired. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, Danny. Yeah, absolutely. Peace, tranquility. Yes. Did I see some hands over here? Joel? No? All right. Any last ones? What do you think about the garden? Yes, Linda.
Somebody tending,
yes. Somebody tending to the garden. Good. So friends, as you can see, the garden tells its own individual story depending on who you ask and depending from the vantage point of each one who takes a walk or a look in the garden. And how appropriate is this garden analogy in which it is an all-age service? Because from a multi-generational perspective, the garden may mean one thing for one and a completely different thing for another. It may serve one purpose to one here, but a completely different purpose to another. For example, when I was a kid, the garden for me was my own personal remixed version of Anfield Football Stadium. It was my own imaginary Wembley Stadium. And I would spend hours upon hours in the garden pretending to score the winner in front of the jubilant imaginary fans watching me in the flower beds. But that was my perspective of the garden at that time. But for my parents at the time, my presence in the garden as a kid was met with huge frustration and despair, as I would often kick the ball into those beautiful flowers, as you've mentioned. And I was notorious. I can't tell you the amount of shed windows I took out when I was a kid. But for others, as we have talked about already, perhaps for the parents here and from older generations, that the garden is a place of reflection, a place of serenity, a place to get away from the chaos and the pressures of life. The garden, a place of calm and peace. However, friends, for Jesus here in this story, the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem was a garden that meant so much more than just an imaginary Anfield football stadium or a place to get away from the pressures and the busyness of life. But the garden for Jesus, friends, was a place of both agony but also destiny. The garden for Jesus was a place of struggle, a place of weighing up the cost, a place of prayer, a place of fellowship with his Father. And as we approach very shortly, church, in perhaps the most significant time of the Christian calendar, without doubt the most important event for the church, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would be remiss if we only focus on the cross without also learning the lessons from the garden. So I want to leave with you today briefly just some takeaway nuggets from the garden of Jesus' day. And as we approach the Easter season, I believe these nuggets can help us as we weigh up our own individual gardens in our own lives. So here it is, number one, lessons from the garden. Number one, we can appreciate one-to-one time with God in the garden. We can appreciate one-to-one time with God. Life, as we heard, for those of you who are here this morning, can be so hectic and chaotic. But what I love about Jesus is he often would withdraw away from the crowds and even take some time away from his disciples, his core team, his friends, to engage in some quality time with his Father. Peter, James, and John would accompany him to the garden. Jesus says, "Come with me to the garden." But then he says, "Take a seat here, and I'll go a little further into the garden. You sit here and just watch. And I'll go a little further into the garden to spend some quality time, some one-on-one time with my Father. All I want you to do, friends, is sit here, watch while I pray." And children and young people here today, and for all of us here today, this is a great lesson for us. Because in this technological and social media age, we can become so fixated with what's going on our screens. What's the latest TikTok videos? What's the latest updates on Instagram? That we can often miss times of refreshing by spending quality time with our Heavenly Father. We miss out on all that God wants to offer us because we fail to take the time to get away from the busyness of life. Spend some one-on-one time with God in prayer. And I believe it's okay for us, especially for young people, in a short while as you finish up in this term and have your Easter break. And I know you're going to be perhaps looking forward to all the free time that you will have on your hands to do all that you are looking forward to doing. But I want to encourage you over this break to spend some time, some alone time in prayer with God. It's okay to switch off the phone every now and then, to put down the iPad and say, "I'm going to spend some one-on-one time with God." For those of you here who are married or in a relationship, you will know that it's important to spend some quality time with your significant other. Because in failing to do so can wreak a lot of havoc for you in your relationship. A lot of challenges can arise because of a lack of quality time with your loved ones. Currently, I'm going through with Anna premarital counseling, and in the course, we're midway through, and it's talking about the importance of making time for each other. Quality time for each other. And one of her love languages is quality time. And more so with God, it is important for each of us as his children that we spend time with him. Not just when we're here for an hour or so on a Sunday, but throughout the week, our loving Heavenly Father, he wants to spend time with us. Yes, Oliver, you, he wants to spend time with you. He wants to get to know you, Zach. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to know all about the things that you are thinking, you are worried about, you are concerned about. He wants to help you through your challenges at school. Yes, the Lord wants to know about those things because he cares about us in such a special way. And the Garden of Gethsemane, it teaches us that it's okay to withdraw from the busyness of life and to spend time, one-on-one time with God. And Jesus recognized the significance of spending alone time with his Father. Yes, it's okay to have friends and have hundreds and thousands of followers on social media. But I believe it's important that we don't forsake the importance of one-on-one quality time with God. So number one, from the garden we can appreciate that alone time with God. But secondly, we can also learn from the garden, friends. We can see also the need for maintenance in the garden. I believe someone around here said that earlier. The need for maintenance. Maintenance in the garden. The garden teaches us the need for maintenance. Because as beautiful as your garden may be, and as exquisite some gardens may be around Kent, and it's interesting, some of you will know this, but Kent is actually known for being the Garden of England. Did you know that? It is known as the Garden of England. But I did some research on this, and recently Kent was actually challenged in a recent poll as to whether Kent should really be the Garden of England anymore, because they felt that Kent has increasingly over the years become populated, overpopulated, and they felt that it should no longer be the Garden of England. And now areas in Norfolk that have arisen to say that now the other areas in the country should be considered as being the Garden of England. But what I love about the garden is, although the garden can appear to look beautiful on the eye, as we talked about earlier, the garden needs work. You can't just leave, Oliver, you said grass, didn't you? You can't just leave your grass in the garden unattended for weeks and months and years on end without taking the time to say, you know what, I'm going to have to get my lawnmower and sort it out. Because the garden requires maintenance. Because if you leave the garden unattended, and you leave it without doing anything to it, then the grass will grow, the weeds will show up, the soil will get all out of kilter, and then it will look like an absolute mess. And so it is, friends, with our own lives. Not only does the garden require maintenance, but our own lives require maintenance as well. Because our lives, if we don't pay attention to our lives and look after ourselves, look after our bodies, look after what we're feeding our minds on, then our lives can become messy and untidy. That's why Jesus, in the garden, he warned his friends after coming back and finding them asleep. He said, wake up, be watchful, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Can't you just stay awake for just an hour? You see, what Jesus was trying to teach his friends is, although taking a nap is good for the body, you can't just sleepwalk your way through life spiritually. It requires maintenance. The old Sunday school rhyme, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Being a Christian is not just saying, Lord, I believe you. But being a Christian says, I want to walk with you. I want to learn from you. I want your Holy Spirit to take up residence in my life so that I can be led by the Spirit and not by my emotions. I want to be led by you, God. Because Jesus says to his friends, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we can't just fall asleep, friends, behind the wheel of our lives. Because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And let's face it, let's be honest. Let's be honest for just a moment. We should be honest all the time. But if we're real, the flesh is not inspired by going to church. Now, for those of you who are just, you know, just so, you know, you just love going to church, that's great. But I know there's some children and young people here can testify, and I was in this camp when I was younger. It wasn't always a joy to go to church. Didn't find much joy in going to church juxtaposed to going to football. Because the flesh, rather do something else, you know. Liverpool's on the telly. Rather be doing something else with my time. Flesh doesn't always want to serve God. The flesh is not overjoyed with the prospect of praying and studying the Word of God. But Jesus says, if you watch out and if you are prayerful, then your flesh, your fleshly desires will become obedient to the will of God. Because the Spirit now can flow through you and you can be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So friends, there are many parts to the garden that looks beautiful and amazing. But the garden also has elements that are messy. And we have to pay attention to those weed areas of our lives. Those messy parts that require maintenance. And our loving Heavenly Father, He is there to help us to maintain and to develop and to prune those areas that don't reflect His character. But third and finally, what can we learn from the garden? We can also learn from the garden the perfect plan for our lives. Jesus prays, Father, if it is possible, take this bitter cup from me, take it away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And friends, whether it's the garden, your room, living room, bathroom, your car, your daily walk, we all need a place, just like Jesus, where we can tap in to the perfect will of God for our lives. We all need a place where we can just take some time and take a breath to pause for a moment and say, am I on the right track? Am I heading in the right direction? Am I on the right path? Lord, would you help me? Help me to show me your perfect way. Show me your perfect plan. What about some decisions that you may need to make? We need that place, the garden, wherever your favorite place may be, where you can tap into God's will for your life. In closing, over the lockdown period, I spent a lot of time in the garden. More time than I have ever spent before during lockdown in the garden. I would have meetings, Zoom meetings in the garden. I was studying at Spurgeon's, having my online course lessons in the garden. But more importantly, I found space and time on my hands to be able to pray in the garden. I know it was such a beautiful time of refreshing to hear the birds chirping, to hear the noises in the garden, the sounds of nature. Spend that time with God, seeking His will for my future. And friends, I want to encourage you that today, we all need a place. We all need that place in our lives. That sacred place, that favorite place, the best place where we can connect with God. For you, it may not be the garden, but wherever that place is, wherever your favorite place is, I believe we should all find a place, a safe place, where we can connect and hear from God. So my question to you is, where is that place for you? Do you have a place where you connect with God? Do you have that safe place where you can spend that one-on-one, uninterrupted time with God? And if you don't have that place organized in your life so far, can I encourage you to think about finding that place? And you can start this week. Doesn't have to be the garden. Wherever is a place for you that's comfortable for you, that you can just get away from the noise and the hectic chaos and busyness of life, where you can spend alone time with God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can learn so much from your creation. Thank you that even in our gardens, we can look out at nature and we can see your hand at work, even in the garden. But we also thank you for the Garden of Gethsemane. As we head into the Easter season, thank you that there would be no Calvary, there would be no cross without the Garden of Gethsemane. So lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget your agony, and lest we forget your love for me, lead us to Calvary. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here today, whatever generation we may be a part of, that Father, we would find that safe place, whether it's in the garden or elsewhere, where we can spend that alone time with you. And just like Jesus, we can be refreshed, we can be charged, we can be challenged. And yes, even we can receive direction for our lives. Because just like Jesus, you have a great destiny and plan for our lives. But help us to quiet the noise so that we can hear from you. So Lord, we simply ask you, speak, Lord, speak in our hearts. We want to hear from you. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Danny and the team are going to come back. In our young people doing a wonderful job. So proud of them. Amen. So proud of them. And our drummers, you know, I've been praying for, you know, a drummer. And I said, Lord, and this is why it's another testimony. Lord will give you more than what you ask for. Because I've been praying for one drummer to, you know, help and to be able to play. And now we have three budding drummers. Amen. The Lord will always give you more than what you ask for. And so proud of them, Joel and Oliver and Zach. They're coming on leaps and bounds. And we're so grateful that they can have an opportunity here at the church that they can play. Thank you all. And all the singers, God bless you all. And, oh man, Jeshwin, amazing, amazing. God bless you all. Thank you, Danny.
I'm going to just allow a bit of time for reflection on that. I think, God's really leading us to think a little bit about what Nathan just said. I think there's so many important things that really form a firm foundation of Christian faith. Reflecting with God, taking one time with him. Things that need work in our lives, that need work to really give us that firm foundation. And to really ask God what we're meant to... I think knowing what you're meant to be doing is such a hard thing, and God having that plan for you is such a foundational thing in our faith. And so, yeah, I think if you spend a minute thinking about one of those points, whether it's where you will spend time with God, whether it's what you think needs work in your faith, whether you need to plan to read your Bible more or taking a break from work, or just asking God now, where do I go from here? We'll just take 2 minutes to do that. you'd like to join us and stand for our final song, another Easter goodie, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Because I'm not playing for the first. Father God, we thank you so much for all the things that you've touched us with this service, for all the things that we've heard. Help us to take action, not just to hear the words, but take action and take them out into our lives, into our relationship with you, and into the faith that we share with other people. Lord, we pray that you reveal your plan for our lives, day by day, as we need it. And that you'll give us faith to carry on and keep on going and learning more about you. As we go into this week and prepare for work and school, Lord, we know that you are with us, and we pray that we feel your presence. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us. Please head into the lounge for teas and coffees. What do we want? Lighthouse. Get on, lighthouse. 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 Let's go. Lighthouse, huh? We're gonna do lighthouse again. Huh? Are you?